Now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
I don't think anything thrust its hand in the air in the Underwood yesterday for the Cox Plate. I think there might be a wild card now because I'm not sure any of those horses can win the Cox Plate.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Ah, yes, it is that time of the day when RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart, Matt Unchained Stewart, comes in with all the day's news, and he is unchained today. He is so annoyed with the French racing authorities that I believe you vowed never to eat French fries again or drink any type of French champagne or wine.
Is France the origin of French fries? I'm not sure. I certainly won't be eating frog's legs again.
What on earth has gone on? It's certainly caused quite a lot of consternation over in France as well.
And I think what we might do is play Francis-Henri Graffard's comments on the Nick Luck podcast, and that'll sort of framework, because I think he very much so as well, feeling the same way about the weird elimination of Very Elegant from the Arc field based on her French ratings. And I think the tone of what Graffard says is kind of what I want to latch onto as well. So this is his response to the Very Elegant situation.
It's very, very upsetting. It's not good for the sport, in general, I think. And then talking about the French handicapper, it's absolutely ridiculous. A horse trained in France is hammered all the time, completely, with no reason. And before we were not getting into the race, the Australian owners were very upset how he was choking the filly. And as you said, if he was trained somewhere else, he would have come into the race with a mark and no discussion. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm very, very upset against the whole system, the French system anyway.
It sounds like he's embarrassed by the stick-in-the-mud attitude of the French and the French rules. And just not just the rules pertaining Very Elegant, but just the... You know, here we are in a racing world that's desperate for innovation and change and inclusion, and there's all sorts of things going on around the world. There's a sort of a seminar think tank in the UK about how can we get more traction with the sport, with the community. And I've done a piece that's going up online sort of summing up all these things that are going on and how this kind of fits into the need to be progressive and inclusive, and how this is just the opposite of that. And Graffard was... They're not usually that passionate. They usually sort of roll with the punches, the French trainers under the French rules and so on. But
there's a big headline in the Racing Post where he says he's ashamed of France Gallop and what the disrepute it's probably brought on the sport over there in France. And, I mean, that's strong words. And, you know, he's got self-interest, obviously, because he was training her to run in the Arc. But if you look at the bigger picture... they decided not to pay the supplementary money, which they would have got back. But the other reason, which Bray Sikorski said to us yesterday, was because they were between a rock and a hard place. They had to make that call because you can't dual accept under the local rules of racing. So they ran the risk of not even being able to run at all. So she now will race in that Group 1 event on the Saturday, and Mark Zara is still flying out tonight.
Spoke to Reece Murphy. He said he's flying out at 9 o'clock tonight. Pre-committed, I guess. It would have taken the wind out of his sails. There's no doubt about that.
What's it been viewed upon from a handicapping standpoint, not just over in France, but here locally and elsewhere?
I had a bit of a chat to Dave Hagan, who's the Racing Victoria handicapper, and he obviously didn't want to buy into the French rules and so on. But what he did say was the framework that probably put her on the back foot a little bit was that her calendar year general rating is a fair bit below her career peak type rating. She had that one Group 1 win in Sydney during the autumn, and the rest of her performances were like 10 points down on the 123 she was recording in winning, say, Melbourne Cups and so on. So that combined with the French rule of that we've been discussing ad nauseum of if she'd only had one run, she'd have been sweet, but she had two, and they go back to scratch when they assess her. But I think those rules, as we were talking about yesterday, never factored in a drop-in like Very Elegant. A horse that would come over might take a couple of runs to get anywhere near back to her Australian form, but then she's trapped by those two runs in the way they interpret it. So... as you say, she's running in the mayor's race on the Saturday. Mark's going. I don't know whether Bray's cracked it or whether he's going to go as well. But that's the situation. But, yeah, I've done a piece online about just... It just goes against this need for world racing at the moment to be as creative and inclusive as it possibly can. And there was lots of headlines in European racing about, you know, how exclusive it is and how it's hard to get people on track because of cost, and we have the same issues here. And this sort of symbolises the opposite, in a way, I think, to a lot of people.
They've been stiff, haven't they? To roll the dice and head over there, and then you get a year where there are in excess of 20 horses who want to accept for the ARC. It is very unlucky indeed. Let's hope she can fly the flag and perform really well in their Group 1 on Saturday.
But there are a lot of young trainers there too. I remember I was over there earlier this year, and there are so many young, enthusiastic, creative young trainers who are probably going to have a bit of a fight on their hands against the how staunch the French rules are. So traditionally, all the trainers have sort of just gone along with it, but I think there's a bit of a young crew, including Graffard, who are prepared to sort of stand up and say, look, this is stupid. Why don't you change it?
Well, just the other side of the coin before we move on, the French representative on the board of international handicappers have come out and defended their stance. Eric Legrun has said that she finished 2021 after winning the Melbourne Cup on 123 as a rating mark. And as this year, she has run six times, four times in Australia and twice in France. And even when she won a Group 1 at Randwick in February, she did not post a higher rating than we have given her now, which is 113, with any of the international handicappers except Australia.
Well,
so that's a reply.
Although, but Dave Hagen's basically saying that is the understandable sort of downgrading of her performances from one campaign to the next as well with Sydney. So that played some role. But in a bigger picture sense, I think the view here would be, look, if Stradivarius came out and he had a couple of duck eggs, do you really think we're going to dump him from the Melbourne Cup? So it wouldn't. We would value the inclusion of that sort of horse, and we'd probably hang on to his overall CV a lot longer than the French seem to have.
Well, it's disappointing because we won't get to see her in one of the world's best races, but she will be racing in a Group 1 on Saturday. There's plenty of rain about over there as well for the ARC, and there's, unfortunately, plenty of rain around in Sydney again, although is there a little bit of hope that maybe it won't be as bad as what is thought for the track on Saturday in Sydney?
Well, it'll be somewhere between a 5 and a 10. That's how open-ended the weather forecast is, because I spoke to Michael Wood. He said, look, at the moment it's sunny. There's a bit of a blob coming. We don't know when it's going to come, if it comes at all. If it does come and come heavily with the sort of rain they've been getting, with the heavy dumps that come out of nowhere, then it'll be a seriously wet track. He said, but look, to be honest, I can't answer your question because there are two scenarios and both are possible. One is relatively dry and a soft 5 or soft 6, and the other is we get dumped on and we're a heavy 9, heavy 10. Sydney forecasts, you can't blame the Bureau because Sydney forecasts are impossible to judge. You remember Nevesh, we had these conversations about how he'd look up and then all of a sudden this thing formed over his head and it dumped 30 mils, you know. So,
what about here at Flemington? Are we going to be on a good track on Saturday?
Liam O'Keefe is saying the weather looks all clear. Soft 5 at the moment. Expected to be a good 4 on Saturday. Possible upgrade to a 3.
Wow.
So there is
nothing. Upgrade to a 3?
Nothing to suggest 4 to 3, you know, the usual non-rainy day upgrade.
Well, there's one group of connections that won't be happy with that, and that's Gold Trip, because they have consistently said they like to have the sting out of the ground. So that'll be interesting. If it's a good 3 by the time the Tab Turnbulls run on Saturday, what happens with Gold Trip heading towards a possible Caulfield Cup or a Cox Plate start?
Well, I think the other thing too, though, is we get Jewess on a fair and reasonable track to have a really good look at where
she's at. Did you
have
a listen to Ed Cummings?
Yep.
I thought he was really, really buoyant. And you look at her form just on paper and you go, oh, I don't know, how is she going? She's had the atrial fibrillation. She's had the sore back out of the last run. But he said her times the last 200 were brilliant in the Memsey, and she hit the line really well. She's stepping up to 2,000 now. She's got to perform on Saturday. She's drawn a good gate. You really want to see her savaging the line, don't you, on Saturday?
Well, Australian Cup replica, isn't it? Like when she knocked over Think It Over, that's the sort of run that he'd be looking for there. And then where does she go from there?
Seems like Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, surprised he hasn't. It's not 50-50. I'm a bit surprised it's not 50-50, especially with the way the Cox Plate's sort of changing. And the other one is our old mate. We'll give him one last roll of the dice. We don't have to mention his name because I'm so over him. But let's just see how old mate goes. Fondo.
Well, if he gets a good 3, surely you'll be back in his camp.
Not a hope in hell. I'm done with him. It's over. I'm telling you, it's over.
Yeah, I just hated him in your relationships.
No,
he
was weak last start. He was.
But it was on an unsuitable
don't
track.
Don't care. He was on an unsuitable track to start before, and he stuck on a bit better. No, I'm handballing. I'm gifting him to you.
There's no wonder.
They will never give you anything.
There's
I'm
no
giving
wonder
you Profondo.
We've been trying to get Richard Lidd on the program for the last 3 weeks, and he keeps clunking us. So,
he's a bit of a clunker. There's no doubt about that.
Good luck to the camp there, Profondo, in the Turnbull on Saturday. Interesting article in the Herald Sun today. Read Danny Nicolic, who is bidding to try and get back on track, not as a jockey, but as a track work rider.
Yeah, so he's failed with Racing Victoria rejecting his application. Of course, we all know the colourful story of Danny Nicolic, but he's now going to take it to the Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal, VCAT, to review the decision. The comments attributed to Danny Nicolic, who we saw down at Cranbourne a couple of weeks ago at Trackwork. My love for thoroughbreds has never waned, so my desire to ride trackwork has always been front and foremost in my life. I see the industry is in need of quality track riders and believe with my experience and knowledge, I believe everyone should be afforded opportunities in life, we are taught as a society. And he goes on, so he's actually a very eloquent guy, Danny Nicolic, and the way he articulated that was very, very articulate, but whether that washes with VCAT, given, you know, according to Terry Bailey, and it was an established charge, he threatened the chief steward. So
what's your gut feel on that? Because was that 10 years ago
about
now?
10 years ago. Pretty big one to overcome, isn't it? You know, and this is at the time when we're wondering about what will happen with Darren Weir, with the police charges. I think
what
it's
is
looming.
The latest there?
Yeah, I don't. I will find that out, and I'll give you an update on exactly what's going on there. But you know, is 4 years 4 years for Darren Weir? That's going to be up sooner rather than later. Early into next year, that's it. His 4 years is up. I know that he's put a lot of work into creating a infrastructure for him to come back to. But the curveball is the issue with the police charges, with the cruelty, with the jigger stuff. So whether one overrides the other, but I will definitely get clarity on exactly where A is connected to B when it comes to the Darren Weir situation. Because he's, you know, if all goes well, 4 years is up in January.
Well,
2019, 20.
We need to clarify that situation because it would then go back to Racing Victoria to the character reference, whether he gets his licence back. And how is that affected if police charges are yet to be heard?
Well, my understanding, having spoken yesterday to a steward, was that the thing that can affect his application, the fit and proper part of it, is the police charges. But other than that, there's nothing that's occurred in the last 3.5 years that would make it less likely he would be relicensed, because he hasn't robbed a bank that I know of.
A couple of SMSs coming through. Boys, regarding Very Elegant, gee, there's a lot of fuss for a horse that would have started 50 to run and run 16th. That's Brett.
Yeah, but it's more about the reality of the story. She's won 11 group run races and she's got dumped from an arc. I think that's a good talking point.
And Ray says she's not going to win either of those French races. Just retire her after a stellar career. So I think there is a race on Champions Day, and then that may well be it, and she may well go to the breeding barn over there.
Well, I'll tell you what, it'd be nice if she came out and smashed them up in the race on the Saturday. That would be a nice little thing.
Just a couple of quick ones to finish on. Andrew Jones, the CEO of Racing Victoria, he was at the press club yesterday.
Yeah, just these are just some comments regarding Sydney-Melbourne prize money, the opportunity for trainers, and people can assess them on their own merit. He said the happiest people in the world at the moment are trainers. They see the prize money battle, so to speak, as money for jam. There's more money on offer in New South Wales and Victoria than they, and they don't have to pick a side. They're just playing Pac-Man with your horse, trying to gobble up as many cubes. And when they eat enough of the big ones, they get to eat all the other ghosts, Jones said. If there's more money on offer from Sydney, they'll go to Sydney. If there's more offer on in Melbourne, they'll go to Melbourne. So I'll leave it up to the training ranks to establish what they how they feel about.
He's saying there's never been more money for trainers to get their hands on.
True, that's what he's saying.
Hey, this Saturday, make sure you tune in to RSN 927 because we have the start of a new program for the Spring Carnival. So on Saturday, we'll be launching the Spring Ticket, which will be on the main channel. And it'll be focusing on Victorian racing, the obviously premium events at Flemington. Tab Turnbull Stakes Day. We'll also do the provincial meeting, and there'll be Sydney races as well. But that is it.
Yep.
So
yep.
The normal coverage on a Saturday, which is a bit of a roulette wheel of race after race after race after race, that'll be on the digital channel.
Yep, which is easy to access.
If you want more in-depth analysis, pre-race, post-race interviews, we'll be live at Flemington. Myself, yourself, Dr. Turf is going to join us, which will be great. Stephen Arnold, Group 1 jockey, will be joining us. Dean Lester will be heavily involved. And we're going to have Marie McEwen in the mounting yard doing interviews, giving us her expert eye and opinion as well. Plus, we'll be taking all of the interviews off Channel 7 and racing.com. So it'll be a one-stop shop of the best of all coverages of the races. And we're going to be doing this from 10 a.m. live from Flemington until 6 o'clock after the last race, which I know you're wrapped about, all the way through the Spring Carnival. So I think it's going to be great fun.
It's going to be busy, but it's going to be great. And there's nothing better than sitting around at the races, having a yak to all those people you mentioned, and race by race, looking ahead, looking back, and all that. And the time does fly, too. So, join us. Join us right through spring.
All the on-the-spot news and analysis, and, of course, Dean Lester, front and centre, the best tipster in the land. Matty, we'll read all about it at rsn.net.au. Coming up next, we'll have a chat to Andrew Bobbin, and then we're going to delve deep into the trial files and get the latest analysis on the 2-year-olds who make their debut on Saturday.